This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning, and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. Now, again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. I want to remind you that the website does contain this program, and it can be re-listened to there. It also has a meditation, another helpful material on it, and you're welcome to use any of it and to copy it, download it, or reproduce it, so long as you do not edit it. So if you would like my website address or my mailing address, get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write it down in a few minutes as the program closes. Now, again, we've been studying the book of Genesis, and last time we ended up with the death of Noah, and that was at the end of Genesis chapter 9. So Genesis 1 and 2 really had to do with creation, had to do with how God brought the world into existence, and how that what God created was good, and it was very good when he got finished with it all and looked it all over, and then he rested on the seventh day. Then we come to Genesis 3, and we see how that Satan is introduced, and we find out that now we have opposing forces. We have the God of this world. We have Satan, the adversary, the devil, the evil one, who has fallen already, who has already tried to usurp the position that was the Lord's alone in heaven, who would like to now destroy everything that glorifies Jehovah, or the God that we know as Jesus. He wants to destroy everything that glorifies the living God of heaven. And so he comes along and finds Eve and tempts her and tells her, look, yes, I know what God has said, but if you partake of that fruit, you'll not surely die, and you'll be blessed. You'll know good and evil. It's a tree that looks good, and it tastes good, and it will enlighten you, and it'll make you like gods. And so Eve partook of the fruit, and then Adam partook of the fruit, and so we have sin coming into the world, and from that time on now, the nature of sin passes on to all men, as by one man sin entered into the world, that is through Adam. Sin entered into this world. So sin is passed upon all men, for death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And so now we see that evil problem of sin coming into the world. And so in Genesis 3, we find that Adam and Eve fall, and Adam is not deceived, but knowing that Eve has sinned and is going to be removed from the garden, he chooses to partake of her sin because of his love for her, and he leaves the garden with her, which is a bit of a picture of what Christ has done for us. He came from heaven into a world of sin in order that he might have a bride. The difference is Christ didn't sin when he purchased his bride, whereas Adam did sin when he showed his love for the one that God had made for him. Then we come to Genesis 4, and we find Cain killing Abel, and it's all over religious matters again. Who has the sacrifice that satisfies God? And so in Genesis 4, we see the evil in the heart of unbelievers, particularly in the heart of Cain, who slew his brother, and we have that question asked of the Lord by Cain, am I my brother's keeper? And of course, we know that the theme of the Bible is that we are to love God and we're to love one another, and yes, we are our brother's keeper. And that's why I preach the gospel on this program. Many people would like to have me just preach about ways to help your marriage, and ways to help you raise your children, and ways to help you with your finances, and that all may be well and good, but I'm more concerned with ways to help you find your way to heaven. And once you've found your way to heaven through the new birth, I want you to be able to please the God who loves you and to not submit to the lies of Satan, because that is what is happening even in our world today. And so I want to see those of you who are listening sure that you've trusted in Christ for salvation. And then I want you to understand that you're now sealed with the Holy Spirit and you can live to please God. And some of these other issues then could be, we could spend time on them, but I want to get to the foundation first. Are we really right with God? Because we have this problem with sin. And then we come to Genesis 5 and we see all of these men in the genealogy that ultimately becomes the genealogy that our Lord came from, and in every case it says, and he died with the exception of one, and that one walked with God, and his name was Enoch. He walked with God and he was not. And it's a picture of those of us who are saved, who will leave this earth without dying when the Lord returns for his own, before he sets up his millennial kingdom, and we will be delivered from the wrath to come that is going to come on the earth in order to bring the Jews and all nations to repentance with regard to what happened 2,000 years ago on the hill called Golgotha on an old rugged cross. And so we see Genesis 5 brings us to this thing called death, and then we come to Genesis 6, 7, and 8, which deals with the imagination of man's heart becoming so evil that God wants to really destroy his creation and start over. And Noah finds grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he follows the instructions of the Lord and spends 120 years building an ark that saves him and his eight children. And so we do that in Genesis 6, 7, and 8. We see a rainbow that promises us there'll never be a flood again. And then we see the problem with Noah himself still being a sinner, getting drunk, and his sons, to one of his sons apparently ridiculing him along with a grandson. And then we see two of the sons, Japheth and Shem, trying to show respect for their father and covering that sin. And now when we come to Genesis chapter 10, we find out that God is showing us how the nations are spread out through the three sons of Noah. I just want to read a little of this, because in verse 6 it says, Genesis 10 and verse 6, the sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan, and the sons of Cush were Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Raamah, and Sabtika. I'm probably not pronouncing that right. And the sons of Raamah were Sheba and Dedan. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. And Akkad and Calna in the land of Shinar, that's the land of Babylon as we know it, or Iraq as we know it today. And from that land he went to Assyria and built Nineveh, Rabbath, and Keilah. And as you go through the Bible, Nineveh and Babel, and this area is a prominent part of the history of the children of Israel. Now, you're going to find out as you go through the Bible that there's tension between Babylon and Jerusalem. Jerusalem ultimately is where God places his name. And the ultimate kingdom that God will establish, the millennial kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Christ, will be established from Jerusalem. That's the city David built. It was the original place of the temple, and it's where the Lord placed his name and his testimony. But in Babylon, you'll find out in Genesis chapter 11 that the people of Babylon decided to approach God their own way, and they built a tower to heaven. And God came down and began to look at this tower that was being built, and it was probably some kind of a heathen temple that approached the starry skies, where they studied what we would call today astrology and other things of that nature, looking for signs in the sky and worshiping the stars and worshiping nature. And they were approaching God their own way, and God came down and confused the nations, confused the language of the nations. And this is a lesson in biblical interpretation, because when we read from Genesis 10 and verse 5, it says, "From these the coastland peoples of the Gentiles were separated into their lands, everyone according to his language." So Genesis 10 and verse 5 is referring to the fact that these people all have different languages now, but Genesis 11 has not yet occurred. You've got to be careful when you read in the Old Testament, because the writing is topical, not always chronological. And so God is telling us how the nations were spread out in Genesis chapter 10. And then in Genesis 11, he sort of flashes back and shows us what happens, why it was necessary for these nations to be spread out according to their languages. And so even today now, we have all the peoples in these different countries with different dialects and different languages. And when we look at Babylon and the ability of people to try to worship God their own way, that brings about confusion. But when we worship God, that brings about enlightenment, clarity, and understanding. I think of that blind man in John chapter 9 who had his eyes opened physically. And then I believe he had his eyes open spiritually. And when the Jews who were rejecting the Lord asked him who opened his eyes, he says, "Who opened my eyes?" And whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. And that's what happens when we come to the Word of God and let it shine in our hearts. And when we believe it, even when we don't understand it, that's what happens. We get an understanding of who God is, that He's a God who has created us. He saw us fall into sin, and so now He's bought us back. He owns us first by creation, and then He owns those who will trust Him by redemption. He bought us back from the slave market of sin so we could have a people for Himself. And He doesn't want us to worship in a confusing way. He wants us to worship according to the guidelines He has given us. And that worship starts with the day that we repent and believe, that we quit arguing with God and put our trust in Him and His work at the cross. So we see Babylon, that's confusion. We see Jerusalem, that's the way we ought to worship. And folks, that tension is something we face today. Make sure we're on the right side of that tension, and that we have trusted in the Lord who placed His name at Jerusalem, and who will show us exactly what pleases Him if we'll simply put our trust in Him, and then we'll be ready to go to heaven as well. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for Thy blessing upon Thy word and upon those who have listened. We commit this program to You and thank Thee for Thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.